The Truth News Network. In a world where idiocracy is the new world order, it takes a strong voice to speak the truth. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. And your beacon of light in the tunnel of lies is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman, and I am really glad that you joined us here today. Listen closely. You gotta believe me when I say it seems that everything being done in Washington in and by this Congress is a mess. The House Democrat freshman members are steadily pulling the Democrat Party farther and farther to the left, while Senate Democrats have joined with House Democrat leaders to spurn the exhaustive Mueller report and replaced it with their incessant demands for testimony before the committees regarding anything and everything to do with Donald Trump. They simply refuse to accept the fact that Mueller and his 20 Democrat attorneys, who all despise this president, in 2.5 years could not find anything on which Congress can use to initiate impeachment proceedings against President Trump. And they are going crazy. Truth News Network turned to Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, to get some answers to some questions about what the heck is going on. He paused to answer some of those questions and share his thoughts on all of these and other critical issues. Congressman Johnson is in his second term in the House. He's heavily involved in the legislative process, details of which you are about to hear, and serves on several House committees that each have critical roles they play in our government. Two of those committees are knee-deep today in two of the greatest political issues of the day that are dominating the news 24/7. Those committees are the House Judiciary Committee and the Homeland Security Committee. It's safe to say Congressman Johnson sees in a bit more detail than we when looking into those committees' two critical issues, the Mueller investigation and special counsel Mueller's findings from that investigation and illegal immigration. We pause here, but we're going to be back in just a few moments with Congressman Mike Johnson. You sit tight. You're going to love to hear what he has to say from the inside of the Congress of the United States. That's just ahead at Truth News Network.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
New power brings us new opportunities. To a crossroads where we pause. As we imagine a purely electric vehicle, rethinking everything, every flowing line, every possible space, every single connection, every last element. Until it has all changed, except for our soul. A Jaguar still roars, but silently. The new all-electric Jaguar I-Pace.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them! Stay back, I've got mace!
Ow, that went in my eyes!
Quit moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
It's hard to hear the truth, but if the truth will set us free, we'd rather enjoy freedom.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
Again, Dan Newman.
For some of you, this is the first time you've joined us at Truth News Network. Let me just say this. Our commitment is we do the research. We do the heavy lifting. We dig and dig and dig and find you the truth in everything we can find that are important items for you and everyone else that is part of the Truth News Network family. And we bring those to you. Now, we have opinions here. And when we report, and it's our opinion, we make sure that we tell you this is our opinion. But you can be certain the rest of the things you hear are factual. In fact, we're insistive that you find the facts and confirm the facts about everything we say here and you hear or read on any other news outlet is factual. To that end, we are bringing someone to you today that is right in the middle of all of the things going on in Washington, D.C. now that are very important to us and to you. On the phone with us today is Congressman Mike Johnson, who represents the 4th Congressional District in Louisiana. Hello, Congressman. How are you doing today?
Hey, Dan. Great to be with you, brother.
Boy, it's been a while since we've talked. We love to chat with you to get caught up on everything going on. And boy, there's a bunch going on. Let's just get right to it. You serve on the House Judiciary Committee. Now, I know you weren't in the Senate hearing with Attorney General Barr a few days ago, but I'm really interested to hear what page you think the Senate Democrats are on and the Democrats in the House that you serve with and those that are on the Judiciary Committee with you. What's going on? And what in the world are they thinking about regarding the Mueller report and its release?
What's really happening is that Attorney General Barr, who, as we know, is a seasoned public official. I mean, he's been the Attorney General twice now. He is no stranger to these high-profile arenas, and he has been completely forthright with the Congress and with the American people. And there's no question about that. I don't think anyone can argue with a straight face. He released the Mueller report in redacted form, exactly as he was required under prevailing law to do. He then released a much far less redacted report for members of Congress to go and read in our confidential setting. And by the way, only a small handful of members of Congress have actually done that, and I think very few, if any, Democrats.
Actually, Congressman, as of the end of business on April 30th, only two members out of 535 members in Congress had checked in to read the unredacted Mueller report version. Those two who did so weren't Democrats. They were Republicans. No Democrats have even bothered to read it, yet they are screaming for the unredacted report.
That tells you everything you need to know, Dan. And then, of course, he has now submitted for, I think, more than 6 hours of testimony and questioning before the Senate. We were very anxious and excited to have him before our House Judiciary Committee yesterday. But as you know, infamously now, it was an empty chair because, not because of the Attorney General, but because our chairman of our committee, Jerry Nadler, the Democrat, and his colleagues decided to turn the thing into a political charade. The Attorney General rightfully declined the opportunity to participate in that charade, and now here we are.
Hey, listen, the discussion about where we are, it brings up this point. Many people listening may not know this, but in your legal career, you, when you were in private practice, jumped into numerous cases regarding the First Amendment. Right now, freedom of the press, as it pertains to reporting on that Mueller investigation and this president, have really confused the American public. Where are we? President Trump termed it fake news, and nobody wants to hear that on the liberal side of the spectrum. The Washington Post story that dropped just hours before the Senate hearing with Attorney General Barr, it represented, unfactually, I might add, that Mueller stated in a letter that Attorney General Barr had misrepresented the Mueller findings. But of course, as it turns out, that was fake news. Only way down in that same Washington Post story was it stated that in a subsequent phone call, Mueller told Barr there had been no inaccuracies and no misrepresentations in the AG summary. What's going on today regarding the media? You don't think it could get worse, but there you go. They get worse.
The vast majority of national media, of course, has a visceral dislike, some of them even a visceral hatred for President Donald J. Trump. They just literally cannot stand the idea of him being the president. And so they're so far from serving in any objective role. It is complete partisan politics, even in the media. And so they take every opportunity to try to assist the Democrats in taking him down. They're so disappointed that there was no fire and not even any smoke in all of the two-year investigation and all the tens of millions of dollars that were spent in the so-called collusion investigation. There was nothing there. And it is, you know, all the media outlets and all their personalities, they all have egg on their face. So they are just desperately trying to manufacture a story to try to create some hint of scandal hoping that the American people will buy it. If they just say it enough, then maybe people will believe them and think that Trump had something to do with Russia or that he obstructed justice or whatever the latest narrative is of the day. But it is absolutely unconscionable to me that elected members of this Congress would play along with that, would waste the American people's time to try to continue the charade just to appeal to the radical fringe left part of their base. They're wasting our time. We have critical issues that the House Judiciary Committee is supposed to be addressing right now. We have probably one of the broadest jurisdictions in the Congress. Our committee was created in 1813. We've got over two centuries of tradition and precedent and history and all the current issues that we're supposed to be addressing. And yet, we're using this committee to get mired into all of these political shenanigans. And it is so frustrating to us. That's why you've seen the emotions run so high over the last week and all the Republican members on the committee just so utterly frustrated with it. We're in the minority. I hope very soon, Dan, we can take the majority back so we can get back to the important work of the American people.
Well, that's not the only issue you guys are working with. You also serve on the Homeland Security House Committee. The most important thing there right now is, of course, illegal immigration. Let me ask you this. Why has Congress not acted to stop the flood of illegals coming across the southern border? And what can and what should be done about it?
You know, the reason nothing has happened is we could rewind and play the last answer. It's these partisan politics. We have Democrats in the Congress, and I just hate to say this, Dan, I wish it weren't true, but we have the vast majority of the Democrat conference in the Congress who is completely unwilling, A, to acknowledge the obvious facts of the matter. We have a legitimate crisis on the southern border. It is a humanitarian and national security crisis, and we have to address it. Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, customs officials, all of them say at every time they're given a microphone, every time they're asked, under oath before Congress or in the media or to anyone who will listen, please help us. We are being overwhelmed. Our border is being flooded. And these are illegal aliens. These are not people that want to come here and follow the law. They're people who are coming here, many of them with ill intent. We have to stop the crisis. But the Democrats will not face it. They don't want to give the president a win. And because he made building the wall and border security and national security a top priority in his campaign in 2016, they will have nothing of it. So they will deny facts, they will obscure, they will obstruct the process so that we can't get the necessary funding to do what we need to do. And it is a dangerous, really perilous situation for the American people. It's one of the things that keeps us up at night and keeps us completely frustrated in the 116th Congress.
Well, you're saying that brings up a question here. Can you pull back the curtain and tell us why Democrats fight to apparently keep the border open? Americans who live in flyover country just don't understand how and why congressional Democrats continue to fight to not close the border. Billions of dollars, thousands of American lives, and of course jobs, and hundreds of thousands of criminal acts by illegals against Americans could have been prevented if they just did whatever it took to close the border. Do they really think in 2020 this will help keep the House and win the Senate and the White House back?
I genuinely believe it's going to backfire on them, Dan. I think that the people are losing their patience with this. When they understand the magnitude of what is happening, and they will, when the ads begin to run and the campaign money begins to be spent here over the next coming months leading up to the 2020 election cycle, you're going to see the human misery, the toll, the violence, the illegal narcotics, the human trafficking, all the problems that emanate from having an insecure border on the South. And I think there's going to be a reckoning. I really believe the vast majority of the American people do believe, the flyover country folks, they still adhere to common sense, unlike the Democrats who live in the bubble of Washington, D.C. and the swamp. Most people can look at this objectively and say, my word, they have created a dangerous situation for the country. And I think that at the ballot box, I think there's going to be a price to be paid for that. I hope there is, because it's completely irresponsible government. These guys, so many of them operate on a completely Machiavellian kind of system of politics. The ends justify the means. And to them, the ultimate end is to destroy and remove Donald Trump, however they can. in whatever way, shape, or form. They'll do anything to meet that objective. And it's really sad that, everyone's lives and security and our fortunes are all in jeopardy while they pursue that end.
You're absolutely correct. I agree with you 100%. Let's switch gears for just a moment. The U.S. Department of Labor just released that 263,000 jobs were created last month that drove the unemployment rate to the lowest level in 49 years. The American economy is skyrocketing under this president.
The United States economy is roaring. There's a reason for that. It is not circumstantial. It's not a coincidence. It's because of the policies of President Trump and the Republican-led Congress in the last Congress. As everyone knows, we were able to push through historic tax reform, historic regulatory reform. We cut 22 federal regulations for every new rule that was created by any federal agency. We had the most historic and landmark tax reform, tax cuts across the board for individuals, corporations across the board, small business owners, than has been done in decades. And the result of that is that the free market is thriving again. You cannot dispute the facts. And John Adams famously said, facts are stubborn things. I think this is what's going to contribute to the reelection of Donald Trump and to the reelection and return of the majority to the Republicans in both houses of Congress, because the American people, at the end of the day, are going to vote their pocketbooks. I think that's always been the case. I think it is and will be in 2020. And I think this is all going to work in our favor. These are numbers that every single American should stand up and cheer, because it helps all boats to rise. All Americans are better off right now. And anyone who denies that is doing it for pure partisan politics. And I think they're going to get called on it. They'll have to try to weave a narrative that Donald Trump is the great Satan and he must be removed. And they don't like how he talks and they don't like what he does in his personal life and all of that. But look, again, at the end of the day, I think the American people are looking at results. We've overlooked a lot of personality peccadilloes in presidents in the past. What we count on and what we hope for is that when someone runs for office, that they will fulfill their commitments and they'll be good by their word. And Donald Trump has done that. He is checking boxes every single day. And as he said on the campaign trail, y'all are going to be tired of winning. We're almost to that point. It's a great run. A historic run. You look at what he's done in the economy, we've talked about. You look at how he's been so consistent on all of his promises on the campaign trail in 2016. You look at what he's done in the courts with a record number of conservative originalist judges, two on the Supreme Court so far, and countless others on the lower courts across the land. This president is fulfilling his commitments, and the people, I think, are going to reward him for that.
What's the old saying? It's the economy stupid. I don't know about it so far. It seems like the Democrats don't really give a rip about it. Say, there's something else that I wanted to ask you about. I wanted to ask you about it last time, but we ran out of time. From October 31st, 2017, through just several days ago, April 30th of this year, there have been 94,399 sealed federal indictments issued by federal courts from around the United States. The Federal Registry lists them all, of course, without any statement showing identities of those who are the subjects of the indictments or on what basis they were issued. Every federal court in America has issued some. The most sealed federal indictments in any one year previously was 3,000. And it's way, way, way more than that. Can you shed any light on their purposes or targets for us?
No idea. That's the first I've heard of those statistics. It is alarming to think about that. I mean, you know, I'm an attorney. I practiced for 20 years before I got into the Congress, and there is a reason sometimes to have a sealed indictment, but to have a volume that's high certainly does raise some eyebrows. It raises some questions. Look, part of the problem of what's developed over the last couple of years is that the American people, I think, in some sense, have gradually lost some important faith that they've had in our institutions. And one of those institutions is our criminal justice system, and to be frank, the Department of Justice, because we've looked at the scandals that came out of the investigation of President Trump and his campaign. We looked at the bad apples that were in charge at the top of the FBI and the Department of Justice on investigating all this. The rank and file are patriotic, selfless public servants. You know, they serve the country and the FBI and Department of Justice. But you have a few bad decision makers at the top, and it taints everyone involved, and it taints the whole institution. So there are reasons to ask important and searing questions right now, and that is certainly one that that bears asking, I think.
Well, Congressman, we're running out of time, your time. But before we go, something else I want to talk to you about. Please give us details of that other congressional group that you chair. You're actually the chairman of the Republican Study Commission, or known also as the RSC. It's the largest caucus in all of Congress. It plays a very pivotal role in the legislative process. Please tell us what that committee does and what's going on there before you get away.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. You know, the Republican Study Committee is known as RSC, has been around for quite a while. We're the largest caucus of conservatives in Congress, and indeed the largest caucus there is. There's currently 142 members. All the conservatives, anyone who self-identifies as a conservative in the House is a member of this group, and I'm blessed to be serving as chairman in the current Congress of this group. It was founded back in 1973, and its purpose at the time was to serve as what they described as the intellectual arsenal of conservatism in the House. This is the place where all of our conservative philosophy and our core principles make their way onto paper to become legislative initiatives. It's sort of the policy shop of conservatives in the Congress, and all the names that any of your listeners would know, big high profile figures in the House, they're all participants and helping along in this. We have about a 70% crossover with Freedom Caucus members. So everybody who's doing the heavy lifting for conservatism in the House is helping on this team. And what we do is we try to message our side to negate what the radical left is doing out there. We develop actual legislation and the policy initiatives. And what we're doing right now in the minority, which is where we find ourselves in this Congress, is that we're generating and developing the playbook, as I call it, that we're going to run when we take the majority back. So all the legislation that the next Republican majority will be enacting and put it into law, we're drafting all of that right now in every area and all the areas of jurisdiction under the Congress. All that's being done kind of quietly and behind the scenes right now. So we're coordinating with conservative think tanks and like-minded groups and organizations and taking the best ideas, and we're putting it all together, and we will be running that feet on the ground, running full steam ahead the day after we take the majority back, and I just can't wait to do that.
Well, I'm going to brag on you for a little bit, you and that committee. The RSC on your watch just recently achieved a goal that every American only dreamed about. We've dreamed about it for years and years and years until now. A balanced federal budget. You guys put one together.
Well, we issued that May 2nd, and it's in every year, every Congress, the RSC issues and publishes its our own detailed, lengthy the RSC budget. And this year, what's notable about it, Dan, is we literally have the only budget in town. I mean, the president, of course, presents a budget, but it's more of an outline, kind of an aspirational sort of thing. The Democrats, who are in the majority, have the responsibility of producing a budget for the country, and they have said they will not do it. They are not going to present a budget this year. And the reason for that is because Pelosi has so much infighting in her camp from the radical left socialist and that area branch of her group that she doesn't want to confront them, and it's going to turn into it's going to blow up. And so she just said, well, never mind, we won't produce a budget at all. So we presented ours, the conservative budget. It balances in 6 years. It cuts trillions of dollars in wasteful, duplicative federal spending, and it gets us back on a path to fiscal responsibility. Dan, if we don't do that we are not on a sustainable trajectory in this country. And I think everybody recognizes that. If they don't, they need to study up. We got nearly a $23 trillion federal debt. We cannot stay on the path that we're on. We have to exercise fiscal responsibility. We have to make some tough decisions. And the RSC budget is a guideline on how to do it. And I'll tell you, I talked with the president personally about 2.5 weeks ago on my cell phone about this. I gave him the heads up that it was coming out, gave him the highlights of it, and told him it doesn't compete in any way with what he's presented, because we're on his team. We applaud it. But I said, Mr. President, this puts some important flags in the ground that goes even further, balances the budget in a 6-year time frame. And of course, he loved that idea and loves that we're engaging that debate and the dialogue, because he knows how important it is. So, yeah, we put that out there. And among the other products of the RSC, just over the last couple of weeks, we came out with the Green New Deal is 14 pages long. We came out with a 13-page point by point analysis that literally just blows it out of the water. And the headline in the Washington Times said RSC 13 page takedown of the Green New Deal. Everybody can Google that and go read it for themselves. But we're doing the intellectual work in the House, the conservative policy work, and it's just really, really important to do that right now.
Congressman Mike Johnson, representing the 4th Congressional District in Louisiana. We're so glad you joined us today, Congressman, and we look forward to having you again. For everyone listening right now, we want to say we want you as part of the family. If you want to make sure you never miss a podcast or a blog post, simply go to the front page of the website where this article is written today. On the bottom right side, enter your name and email address. We'll add you to our subscriber list. Now, what that means, doesn't cost anything. We don't sell anything. You don't get any ads, no solicitations. It just means that every time we post a new story or podcast, like this one today, the night before, you'll get a link. When you click on that link, it'll take you right to the story. You read it or listen to the podcast, and you never miss a thing. Thank you so much for joining us here today with our visit with Congressman Mike Johnson. Lots going on in D.C., as you know, and lots of things are changing in D.C. every day. We don't miss a thing. We're doing the research and doing the watching for you. Make sure you're with us every day at truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Telling the stories the mainstream press doesn't want you to hear. Dan Newman, TNN,
the Truth News Network.